So we're standing just a few days before Hanukkah. Tonight is Chaf Kislev. And I had mentioned last week that we were going to start a new series, and then I realized, what am I talking about? It's a few days to Hanukkah. We'll start after Hanukkah. So tonight we'll learn about Hanukkah, and I want to begin with the famous Gemara in Maseches Shabbos and Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. But the Gemara, after having a whole discussion about Hanukkah, the Gemara finally raises the question, by the way, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? Very strange question. But Chazal didn't know. Chazal didn't have to ask the question, my Hanukkah. Again, the Gemara's already been dealing with Hilchos Hanukkah on Daf Chaf Aleph. So it was after like all the halachos, the Gemara finally says, by the way, like what are we talking about here? My Hanukkah. Sfasemis says an amazing thing. Sfasemis says that what Chazal are hinting to by telling the story after all the halachos, meaning you'd think the opposite. Tell me the story. Tell me what happened. And then go through the nitty-gritty details of the halacha. Give me the big picture first. And yet the Gemara goes through all the details, and then only after it's taught everything, the Gemara says, by the way, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? So the Sfasemis says, because as much as we think we can understand Hanukkah, even after we've learned all the halachas of Hanukkah, we've learned everything there is to know about Hanukkah, the very nature of Hanukkah, because it's the Yom Tov that takes us to Mashiach, we're always left with the question, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? We can't really grasp it. It's a taste of something beyond this world. As the Svarim say, it's the light of the Or HaGanuz, the original light that Hashem allowed to shine in the world before He hid it away for the future. He didn't want the Rishayim to misuse that light. He hid it away for the Tzadikim, Lasid Lavo. Hanukkah gives us a taste of that light. But says the Sfasemis, after all the discussion, we're still left wondering, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? It's so mysterious, it's so deep, it's so hidden. It's so hidden that even if you look in the Zohar, which is the secrets of Torah, the hidden areas of Torah, the Zohar mentions Hanukkah once. It's only in later and later and later generations, as you get closer and closer to Mashiach, there's an unbelievable explosion of Hanukkah. That a question that Rabbi Yosef Cairo asked in his commentary, Beis Yosef, about 500 years ago, why do we have 8 days of Hanukkah? We really should have 7 days of Hanukkah. Famous question. He wasn't the first to ask it, but it's the famous question of Hanukkah, the Beis Yosef's question. Why do we have 8 days of Hanukkah? They had enough oil for one day. There should be 7 days, of, 7 miraculous days of Hanukkah. Not the first one. Again, Rishonim already before him, the Meiri asked the question, the Tosfos HaRash asked the question. But it's a famous question. Why do we have 8 days of Hanukkah? The oil was enough to naturally burn for one day. There were 7 miraculous days. He gave 3 answers. As time went on, people gave more answers and more answers and more answers. Now you walk into a farm store this time of the year, right? You see a sefer, literally an entire sefer, a thick, several hundred page sefer, 1,000 answers to the Beis Yosef's question. Because that's the very nature. That's the very nature. Again, the Sefer itself is called Beis Yosef. Right? Yosef HaTzadik, who we read about during these parshios, the very nature of Hanukkah is Yosef. As we light the candles, Mosef Vaholech, always adding more or. It's a reboy or. As we get closer and closer to Mashiach, the light of Hanukkah grows stronger and stronger and stronger. So even in the Zohar Kadosh, you barely have anything about Hanukkah. Right? But as the Baal Shem Tov came to the world, and the Arizal and the Baal Shem Tov, right, and Sefer Chassidus, today was the Rosh Hashanah of Chassidus, Yotas Kislev, a very significant day for the revelation of Pnimiyas HaTorah, of the secrets of Torah. Right? There's just an unbelievable outpouring, the amount that's written about Hanukkah, Chidushim on Hanukkah, the novelty of Hanukkah Torah. It's an unbelievable and remarkable thing. So that's the My Hanukkah. Right? My Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? After everything we've learned about Hanukkah, we're still not sure. But the one thing we do know about Hanukkah is that we love Hanukkah. Jews love Hanukkah. I think historically, I think statistically, it's the most celebrated holiday. More than Yom Kippur, right, more than the Pesach Seder. I believe it's Hanukkah that around the entire world is the most celebrated Jewish holiday. There's a certain chavivus, a certain love that Jews have for Hanukkah. So I'll tell you a beautiful pshat in my Hanukkah. It's very much Bederach Remez, obviously not the Pasha pshat. There was a tzaddik, there was a Jew named Shlomo Zalman Ehrenreich. And he writes in one of his svarim, he says, I'll tell you, my, the famous question that begins, again, the revelation, the story of Hanukkah, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? So he says the following. Again, very much Bederach Drush, but I think it's a beautiful vort. It's a very sweet vort for Hanukkah. It's a deep idea. He says, my Hanukkah. My is Hanukkah. My is Hanukkah. Mem Aleph Yod, that is Hanukkah. Mem Aleph Yod, that is Hanukkah. How many people in Tanakh are called by their name twice in a row? Where Hashem says their name 2 times, back to back. Right? How many people in Tanakh? Right? 4 people in Tanakh are called by a double name. Noach does not count. Although if you look in the Balei HaTosfos, in the Das HaKeinim of the Balei HaTosfos, right, because Eila told us Noach Ish Tzadik. It's not Hashem calling him Noach. Right? But it does say Noach back to back. It also says Terach back to back. And the Mefarshim deal with that. But the four real ones, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls a person by their name, as an expression of an unbelievable love for them, is Avraham, Avraham, Yaakov, Yaakov, Moshe, Moshe. Those are the three in the Torah. And where do we have one in Navi? Shmuel, Shmuel. Shmuel, Shmuel. Okay, those are the four. For some reason, I remember them Shammai. Rashi Tevos Shammai. Right? Like Beis Shammai. Okay, I don't know. There's nothing to do. Shammai has nothing to do with that. But Shammai, Shmuel, Moshe. Okay, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Ehrenreich, my Chanukah. He says, my Mem Aleph Yud stands for Moshe, Avraham, and Yaakov. My is Chanukah. What does it mean when Hashem calls someone by a double name? Why does Hashem call someone by a double name? So every time someone's called by a double name, Rashi says it's an expression of Hashem's Chavivus. Chavivus is the word that Rashi uses. It's an expression, it's a unique type of love, a special connection that Hashem feels with that tzaddik. A lashon of Chavivus. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chanukah, an expression that he doesn't use by any other yomtiv, by any other mitzvah. The Rambam says about Chanukah, it's a mitzvah, Chaviva hi ad ma'od. And everyone wonders, where did the Rambam get that lashon from? That he calls Chanukah a mitzvah, Chaviva hi ad ma'od. But says Rav Shlomo Zalman Ehrenreich, my Chanukah. Right? Just like Moshe is called Moshe Moshe, and Avram is called Avram Avram, and Yaakov is called Yaakov Yaakov, Mem Aleph Yud Mai. Right? So too Chanukah has a certain Chaviva spekal yisur. Again, very much Bederach Drush, but as we begin this Gemara, I had to share that vart from Rav Shlomo Zalman Ehrenreich. Okay, so now let's read the Gemara. It's a famous Gemara, but let's read the Gemara inside. The Gemara says, my Chanukah, what is Chanukah? Ditanu Rabbanan, Chazal taught, Bechof hei bekislev, yomei de Chanukah t'manya inun. On the 25th of Kislev are the 8 days of Chanukah. Delo lemispar behon, delo lehisanos behon. You're not allowed to have eulogies, and you're not allowed to fast on those days. Right? This quote, this Tanu Rabbanan, is taken from Megillas Tanis. Megillas Tanis was a work that recording various holidays, minor holidays throughout Jewish history. And when the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Megillas Tanis was batel. That sefer we have it. Megillas Tanis was made batel. There's only two holidays, two minor, so to speak, holidays that survived. Chanukah and Purim. And that's what this quote is telling us. That on Chafei Kislev is Chanukah, you're not allowed to fast on that day, you're not allowed to have hespedim on that day. No, why? Because what happened? Shekeshenichnesu yavanim lehecha. Timu kol hashmanim shebehecha. That the Greeks, the Yavanim, the Syrian Greeks entered into the Heichal, into the main sanctuary of the Beis Hamikdash, where the menorah is found, where the shulchan is found, where the small mizbeach is found. Timu kol hashmanim shebeheichal. They desecrated, they defiled all of the pure oil in the Heichal. Ukeshegavra malchus beis chashmonai v'nitzchum. When the chashmonai fought back and were victorious, they defeated the Greeks. Badku, they searched. V'lo matu ela pach echad shel shemen. They searched and they did not find, except for one pach shemen, shayamunach bechos moshe kohen gadol, which was munach, which was resting there with the seal of the kohen gadol. V'lo hayibo el lahadlik yom echad, nasibo neisved liku mimenu shmona yamim. L'shana acheres, by next year, they decided, kavum v'asum yamim tovim, bahalo v'hodah, they made it a celebratory yom tov, not a yom tov of an isra malacha, you're allowed to do work on Chanukah, right? But it's a yom tov in the sense of halel and hodah. We recite a full halal, we recite Al Anisim, Bimei Makdisyahu, Hodah, and benching and davening. Okay, Adkan, those are the words of the Gemara. So I want to just ask two simple questions that many, many have asked on this Gemara, and that is the following. It seems clear from the Gemara that the Yavanim weren't coming in to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. The Yavanim were coming in almost with intent, Timu Kol Hashem. It sounds like that was their mission. They wanted to defile the oil. They didn't destroy the oil. It says Timu, they defiled the oil. They wanted to somehow, it's almost as if they didn't want to stop us from lighting the menorah, they just wanted us to not do it in our way. Light the menorah, just use Tameh oil. Just take it down a notch. You Jews are a little too extreme. Just take, like, it's fine. Tameh oil also burns bright. Timu kol hashmanim shebehecha. What's that about? Why were they dafka looking to metami the oil of the hecha? That's what the Gemara is emphasizing here. My Chanukah, what is Chanukah? That the Yavanim tried to metami the oil in the hecha. What's that about? Question number one. Question number two is the question that Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Gilyon HaShas on the side of the page of the Gemara already raises, and that is a pach shem with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Since when is the Kohen Gadol in charge of sealing oil? Is that part of his job description? The Kohen's not in charge of oil. There was a special room in the Beis HaMikdash, Lishchas Beis Shemanya, the oil chamber, very creative name, right? That's where they processed the oil, that's where they prepared the oil, that's where they sealed the oil, that's where they sold the oil. That's where they exchanged the oil. That's where it happened. So what does it mean that they found this pach? How did this pach shemen have the seal of the Kohen Gadol? What's the historical reality of that? And what's the secret behind it, that this particular jar of oil had the stamp of the Kohen Gadol? So in order to explain this Gemara, we need to look at a very fascinating Gemara, not a very well-known Gemara, but a Gemara that's very much connected, really the root, in a certain sense, of the Hanukkah story. And that's a Gemara in Maseches Sota, Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. I'm going to read it to you as quoted here by the Bnei Yisaschar, or Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov. And he writes as follows. This is in his writings on Hanukkah and Maimer Dalid and Os Gimel. He quotes the Gemara in Sota, an amazing Gemara. Listen to this. Bimei Matisyal ben Yochanan. Who's Yochanan? Says the Gemara, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Shama Baskol, Mibes Kotche HaKadoshim. One year on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol went Lefnaiv Lefnim to the Kodesh Kadoshim, and all of a sudden he heard a heavenly voice. And what did the heavenly voice tell him? Shehu Omer, the Baskol, told him, Nitzchu Talya Da'azu La'agcha Karva Ba'antiyoch. The young men, the young soldiers, who went out to fight against Antiochus, you should just know that they won. Or they're going to win. You should just know that they're going to win. Very strange. A Baskol coming out of the Kodesh Kadashim, saying, don't worry, the soldiers are going to win. In the time of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. What's going on here? Explains Rashi. Rashi says, Shaholchu Pirche Kohuna B'nei Beis Chashmonai. Some of the young Kohanim, the Chashmonaim, went out, Lihilachim Im HaYavanim, Lifnei Yom Kippur. They went out to fight before Yom Kippur. And now Yom Kippur came. And the Kohen Gadol went into Kodesh Kadashim. Knew where are those Kohanim? They're still on the battlefield. V'nilchemu b'yom ha-kippurim. They're battling on Yom Kippur. And Yochanan Kohen Gadol is going Lifnei v'lifnim. He's doing the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. And he's wondering what happened to those young Kohanim out on the battlefield. So he heard a baskel, v'shama Yochanan Kohen Gadol, k'shaya oved Avodas Yom HaKippurim, as he's performing the Avodas Yom Kippur. You should just know that they're winning. The battle against the Yavanim, the Jews are winning. Now this is in the time of Yochanan. Right? Hanukkah is Bimei Matisyahu Ben Yochanan. So it's really sort of like the next generation, right? The next Tkufa when this was happening. But says an amazing thing, says the Bnei Yisaschar, V'hinei lefize hascholas ha-yeshua, b'nitzachon l'malchus yavan haya b'yom ha-kippur. In a certain sense, the origin, the first victory of Hanukkah, the first sign of success, of a salvation of Hanukkah, took place when that Baskol came out and told us, don't worry, the Jews are going to win. That somehow on Yom Kippur, they found out about this unbelievable salvation, v'gmar ha-yeshua b'chanukah. The beginning of the salvation is on Yom Kippur, and the end of the salvation is on Hanukkah, when we finally finish off the Greeks, the Gemara that we just read. An amazing thing. So says the Bnei Yisaschar, we see, in an unusual way, that there's some origin of Hanukkah that's rooted in Yom Kippur. Somehow Yom Kippur and Hanukkah share this very deep and mysterious connection. And he says, the Bnei Yisaschar writes a few paragraphs later in Os Chaf Ches, he says, that's why we highlight in the Tefillah, Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan. Yochanan, it's not just about Matisyo. Yochanan was the one who heard the original Baskol. That's where Hanukkah begins. Right? Again, this is assumed to be the previous generation, right, or a time period before the actual Hanukkah story. Right? But somehow contained within this Baskol that Yochanan heard doing the Avodah on Yom Kippur was the first signs of the salvation, the victory of the Jewish people on Hanukkah. A strange connection between Yom Kippur and Hanukkah, which we'll come back to. Says the Belzer Rebbe, based on this, if this is true, that there really was a Baskol predicting the victory, telling Yochanan the Jews are going to be, they're battling, they're winning, and they're going to continue to win. We're going to beat Yavan. Not to worry. It's going to be okay. So with this, says Rav Yisachar Dov of Belz, the Belzer Rebbe, we can understand something very precise about the tefillah that we say. What do we say in the tefillah, Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan? We say that Hashem, you came to the rescue. Va'ata barachamecha harabim, Hashem, with your unbelievable rachmanis, you came and you saved us. Amata lahem be'is harasim, you came to our rescue in the time of our difficulty. Says the Belzer Rebbe, such unbelievable brilliance, he says, it doesn't make any sense. Barachamecha harabim, you saved us when we were struggling. He says, that's not what rachmanis is. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun. What's the difference between Rachum and Chanun? How do you help someone with Rachmanis versus Chanun? What's the difference between Hashem's Midah of Rachum versus the Midah of Chanun? So the Belzer Rebbe says, if you look in the Tosfos Yeshanim in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayinim at Beis, Tosfos tells us, the Tosfos Yeshanim printed on the page tells us, that Rachum, Rachmanis, Rachum, is Shalo Be'ez Sara Merachim Shalo Tavo. Rachum means that I preempt the problem. I get ahead of the problem. Rachum means I have rachmanis on the person so that they shouldn't have a problem. Right? Help me before it's too late. Rachum is prior to the difficulty that it shouldn't happen. Right? Help me now, have the foresight to help me now, so I shouldn't have a problem later. Chanun, says the Tosas Yeshanim, Shechonin be'ez hadchak lig'ol hatzoik. That I save the person, I have mercy on them when they're struggling, when they're already screaming out of difficulty. So says the Belzer Rebbe, V'ata barachamecha harabim, that before the problem you saved us, be'ez sarasim, in the time of our struggle. So says the Belzer Rebbe, exactly. When Yochanan Kohen Gadol, way before the Hanukkah story really got going, before the real battles were being fought, when a couple of Kohanim went out on an Erev Yom Kippur to try to put Antiochus, as he's beginning to gain power, to put him in his place, right? Ata barachamecha harabim, Hashem, you gave us the baskel to give us the confidence that it's going to be okay. Before the real tzara began. Like Rachum is again shalom beisar, prior to the tzara. Hashem, you had the foresight, right, to give us that baskel, to somehow link together, again, the world of Yom Kippur and the world of Chanukah. Why did Yochanan Kohen Gadol hear this baskel? And how did he respond to it? So I'll tell you something remarkable, that one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, a very tremendous personality in Machshava and Chassidus, Rav Pinchas Friedman, author of the Sefer Shvilei Pinchas, what he wrote in one of his Chanukah Ma'amar. He says, based on this, I want to suggest the following. Here's what he says. He says, why did Yochanan need to hear that baskel? Was he nervous about them? What was the message? Why was he told this? So he suggests that perhaps Ruach HaKodesh, he was already being told the whole Chanukah story. There's going to be an unbelievable miracle with the menorah. Sometime in the future, there's going to be just tremendous salvation, a victory over the Greeks, and this miracle with the menorah. And he's thinking to himself, why do I need to know that? Why do I need to know about this salvation that's going to happen? Why did Hashem tell me that? Why did Hashem reveal this to me? So he suggests perhaps Hashem revealed it to him because he wanted him to somehow play a role, being the tzaddik, being the Kohen Gadol. He wanted him to somehow prepare the Yeshua. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal say, Hashem always prepares the medicine before he brings the illness. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Yochanan, listen, we're going to have an illness. We're going to have an illness called Galus Yavan. We're going to have an Antiochus Harasha. We're going to have Yavanim. We're battling against Torah values, right? And I'm giving you a head start. Something's going to happen with the menorah, and I need you to help me, Hashem says to Yochanan. Rav Shvilei Pinchas Friedman quotes a pasuk in Amos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always reveals the secret to the tzaddik before it happens. Pasuk says in the third parak of Amos, Ki lo yaseh Hashem Elokim davar, ki im gala sodo el avadav hanavi. Hashem doesn't do something until he first reveals the secret to one of the tzaddikim, to avadav hanaviim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Yochanan Kohen Gadol, a baskel, the Jews are going to beat the Yavanim. So Yochanan's thinking, why do I need to know that? He saw with Ruach HaKodesh, something's going to happen with the menorah. And he says, you know what? Maybe Hashem needs me to prepare again the medicine before the illness. So you know what Yochanan Kohen Gadol did? Yochanan Kohen Gadol went ahead. He took a jar of oil, right? He sealed it, and he hid it away. He put it in a special place, right? Knowing that maybe this jar of oil, maybe that's why Hashem told, maybe I have to do something to help out with this miracle that's going to happen in the future with the menorah. So says Pinchas Friedman, it could be that Yochanan understood this message. He understood that Hashem was revealing to him a secret, and he got involved. He prepared the Pach Shemen, put the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it, and put it in its place. Says Pinchas Friedman, it could be that we already have an indication of this from one of the Rishonim. Because if you look in the Kolbo, one of the Rishonim, in Simon Mem Dalet, he says, in describing the story, again, when the Gemara presents the story, it just says it was sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Let's say who the Kohen Gadol was. But if you look in the Kolbo, one of the Rishonim, he says, he writes as follows, I'll read you his words. Shayamunach bishida kavua bekosa. There was a box that was attached to the wall, a special spot, right? And maybe for years it was known that this special box contains something in it from Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Right? Shaloha yucholin lahasita. And it was put in this box attached to the wall in such a way that it was clear to them that the Yavanim hadn't tampered with it, they hadn't touched it. Our Gemara doesn't say Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Our Gemara says we're sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Says the Kolba, one of the Rishonim, it could be that that box with that jar of oil had been put there by Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Had been prepared by Yochanan. Bimei matis Yohu ben Yochanan. By Yochanan Kohen Gadol. The Kolba doesn't say why Yochanan did that. But says Rav Pinchas Friedman, based on this whole presentation, we can understand why. He got the baskel. He got the advance notice. He got the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that trouble's coming your way. And therefore he prepared ahead of time that Pach Shemen with the purity. Right? So that when it was needed, they would find it. And it fits so beautifully with the Gemara, because the Gemara says that when the Yavanim came in, Timu kol ha-shvanim shebehecha. All of the obvious oil, all the oil that was there, was damaged, was ruined, was defiled. They never knew, they had no idea what that box on the wall was. The Yavanim didn't touch it. Right? But the Jews did. The Chashmonaim knew about it. They understood that that was going to be needed at some point. They didn't know exactly how it was going to work. But they realized on that day that we need that oil. And that's what the Gemara says, Badku, they checked to see what's in the box. Umatsu, and they found Pach Echeb Shel Shemen. They found that one flask of oil, which would allow the menorah to continue to burn with tremendous tar. Again, a remarkable secret behind the scenes, right, of how that Pach Shemen came to be sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. But now we have to ask ourselves, let's go further. What does Yom Kippur have to do? Why this link between Yom Kippur, right, and Chanukah? I read you again the words of the Bnei Yisasa, Rav Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov. He writes in a note back in Os Gimel, Hagam Shinira Shamaisa Zos Lohaya Baosa Ashana Shalnes Haneros. Even though the Baskal, the story of Yochanan hearing that voice, was not in the same year as the miracle of the candles, right, as the miracle of the menorah. Because this was Adayin Bimei Yochanan, this was still in the period of Yochanan, and the Chanukah story is Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan, the next generation. By Yeshua, he covers for precursors all Malchus Yavan, and the main victory was defeating the Yavanim and lighting the menorah. So this story is sort of like a precursor to the story. But says the Bnei Yisrael, Im kol zeh lo b'mikra. It's not stam. It's not random that Yochanan on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh Kadashim heard a bas kol about Chanukah. Bnei Yisrael says there's something more here. We have to try to understand what exactly is the link between Yom Kippur and Chanukah. So here's what it says in Sifrei Chasidus. And again, this could totally reorient ourselves to the whole Yontif of Chanukah. Right? What is Chanukah? It's a Yontif Derabanan, it's a celebration, it's a time for latkes and sufganiyot, it's a time to play a little dreidel, it's a time to recognize that Torah was threatened, but we won, right? But there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. Already in the writings of the Arizal and developed that much more by Sifrei Chasidus, we find that Chanukah is really the end of Yom Kippur. There's a very powerful link between Chanukah and Yom Kippur. If you thought it was all over on Yom Kippur, you're wrong. The Zerah Kodesh, for example, the Rav Shitzer Rav. The Rav Shitzer writes in his writings on Chanukah, on the third night of Chanukah. He says, the ksiva of a Jew is on Rosh Hashanah. And the chasima, right, the sealing of that fate, so to speak, is on Yom Kippur. Is it over yet? It's certainly not over yet. What do we have next? Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah, we're still wearing a kittel, we're davening, very long davening. Hoshana Rabbah, he says, is the Gemar Hadin. So again, Rosh Hashanah is the ksiva, it's first written. Yom Kippur is the chasima. Hoshana Rabbah is the Gemar Hadin. Im kol zeh, says the Rav Shitzer, im kol zeh, and again, all the deeper svarim talk about this, af sheyotzin, the petzek, even though the petek, right, af sheyotzin hapiskin hanigzarim, even though the notes that have been written have been handed over to be carried out, ein lehem koach leiskayim ad Chanukah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever was written in that note that was processed on Hoshana Rabbah, which was started on Rosh Hashanah, was further processed on Yom Kippur, handed over on Hoshana Rabbah, gemar din, that's it. But whatever was signed and sealed, it hasn't been carried out until Chanukah. Which means there's still time to try to steal back the note and change a few things. To renegotiate. Ula yitaki na odda masha ives. That maybe a person can correct that which he corrupted. There's still time. On Chanukah, there's still time. There's a beautiful story I love to share. It's a Zos Chanukah story. I shared it a couple of years ago on Zos Chanukah, the last night of Chanukah. A beautiful story with the Chork of a Rebbe. Chork of a Rebbe had a chassid, Rav David Zeidman. And people would come to the Rebbe. The way it worked, you'd come to the Chork of Rebbe and you'd sit with him and you'd write on a note, right? You'd write your name and your family members' names, right? And you'd write down some things that you're struggling with or some things that you need, and you'd give the kvittel to the Rebbe, right? And the Rebbe would take the kvittel and he would talk to you, and the next person would come. By the end of the day, the Chork of Rebbe had a pile of papers on his desk, a huge pile of papers. This chassid of David Zeidman was always curious, what happens after hours, you know? When the Rebbe closes the door, what happens behind the door? What does he do with all the papers? So this Rav David Zeidman, a little holy chutzpah, decided he's going to climb a tree right outside the Rebbe's window and he's going to spy on the Rebbe, see what happens. So he sees after hours, he's watching the Chork of a Rebbe, the Chork of a Rebbe is sitting there, and at the end of a long day, you know, meeting people and talking to people, he said he sat there with each note, davening, he saw he was sitting with each note, looking at the names, davening over each one, one by one by one. He said as he's watching this scene, all of a sudden he sees the Rebbe, he picks up this note, right, this kvittel. Must have been a doctor, you know, some bad handwriting. Yeah, he's looking at this note and he can't read it. And he sees the Rebbe struggling to try to read the note. He's turning it, you know, maybe it's upside down. He can't figure it out. So what's going to happen? All of a sudden he sees the Troika Rebbe get up, and he goes over and he brings over like a light. He brings over some type of light to illuminate the area better. And he's trying to see, he still can't see. So the Rebbe takes a chair and he climbs up on the chair and he's holding the chair mamish up to the light. He's looking, trying to somehow make out the letters. And all of a sudden this chassid says, I see the Rebbe has a big smile on his face. Right? It clicked, he got it, he solved, he figured it out. The hieroglyphics, you know, he was able to crack the code. Yeah? I always think that's such a beautiful Hanukkah story. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hanukkah is holding up those notes by the light, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking one last time. Hashem says, you know, let me see, you know, this year he asked for a raise in Parnassah, which is important, right? But there's other things this person needs. Maybe, you know, Hashem said, maybe I can reinterpret a little bit. Right? Maybe as we're sitting by the Neros Hanukkah, and thinking about the victory of our Jewish values, right? Maybe we're thinking, you know what, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, maybe I got too caught up in Gashmis. I should have been asking for more Ruchnis. Right? Hashem, maybe you can reinterpret the note. Maybe you can hold the note up to the light one last time, and maybe you'll be able to see something a little bit different. So Chanukah and Yom Kippur, says the Bnei Yisrael, it's not by mikra, it's not by chance that they're connected. They're very deeply connected. Says the Rosh Hashanah is the beginning, Yom Kippur is the Chasima, Hoshana Rabbah is the Gemar Din, but it's Chanukah that gives us a chance, one last chance, to try to correct everything. And we do so by the menorah. What's with the menorah? When the Gemara answers the question, my Chanukah, the answer is, they came and they relit the menorah. We have to understand what the menorah represents. Right? Every one of us is a menorah. We have to understand how we are menorahs. What does it mean? What does it mean to stand by the menorah, to light the menorah? What are we trying to illuminate with the menorah, with the candles of the menorah, the lights of the menorah? So the pasuk says as follows. Aaron HaKohen is told, Parshas Ba'aloscha, Bamidbar Parachas, Pasuk Aleph, Ba'aloscha es haneros, when you go up to the neros, when you climb that little platform, there's three steps in front of the neros, El mul p'nei ha-menorah, Ya'iru shivas haneros. El mul p'nei ha-menorah, to the face of the menorah, you should light up all seven lights. What are these seven lights? What does it mean, El mul p'nei ha-menorah? So again, the Rapshitzer, of Naftali of Rapshitz explains, again in his Sefer Zera Kodesh, this time in Parshas Ba'aloscha, really based on Sefer Yetzirah, that the seven lamps of the menorah, again, let's remind ourselves, the Beis HaMikdash had seven lamps. Right? We have eight. The Beis HaMikdash had seven lamps. Ya'iru Shivas Haneros. What are these seven lamps? Says the Rapshitz are really based on Sefer Yetzirah. Every one of us, right, the essence of who we are, our neshama perhaps is even found here more so than in other parts of our body, is in our head. Our head, our moach, our seichel, our intellect. Right? The thing that sets us apart from the animals. By an animal, the Sfarim say that an animal, its head walks, right? A dog walks, its head is even with its body. A person, your head is on top for a reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed you. Right? That the top parts of you are more important than the bottom parts of you. The head, the face, the Sefer Yetzirah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created seven gates, seven openings of the face. Two ears, two eyes, two nostrils, and the mouth. These are the seven gates. The seven entrance points, entry points to man, so to speak. So says the Rapshitzer, Ba'aloscha es haneros, when you light the neros, el mul p'nei ha-menorah, when you come in contact with the menorah, el mul p'nei ha-menorah, the Sfarim say, means the Torah, right? When you're facing the menorah, when you're properly oriented in Torah, ya'iru shivas haneros. What's supposed to happen? Ya'iru shivas haneros. The seven neros are supposed to become illuminated. What are the seven neros? The seven openings of the face. That my ears should be Jewish ears, my eyes should be Jewish eyes, my mouth should be a Jewish mouth, right? And my nostrils, whatever that means, should be Jewish nostrils. That my face should be illuminated, right? That there should be a hadras pan. You see a tzaddik, you look at tzaddik in the face. You talk to people who met the Lubavitcher Rebbe for 2 seconds, they looked them once in the eyes and became different people. I have a student in my shir, he said he went this past year, Simchas Beis Shreve at a bar park, and he said he saw the Stuchina Rebbe for the first time, and he said it changed his life. Just seeing a tzaddik, you see the hadras panim, a certain glow that they have on their face. Chazal even said that on Shabbos, the face of a Jew is different. A person looks different on Shabbos. Your face undergoes a transformation. Right? Because when a person's face is illuminated by Torah, when the menorah is properly illuminated, and the seven openings of the face are shining the way they're supposed to be, it's a different existence. It's a different life. The Sfarim say it's the same thing in the Psukim and Parsha Shoftim. Shoftim v'shotrim titen l'cha b'chol sharecha. Many Sfarim talk about it. Shoftim v'shotrim, police officers, judges, you should assign over what? Kol sha'arecha. Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha, place upon yourself, b'chol sha'arecha, on all of your openings. To make sure that I see in the proper way, I see my fellow Jews in the proper way. and I hear the proper things, and I speak holy words, and not, God forbid, Lashon Hara, which got us into this galus to begin with. So the Bnei Yisrael in the Sefer on Chumash explains, and many others explain, the Agra, the Kala, many others explain, Shoftim v'shochim titen lecha b'chol sharecha. Make sure your gates are guarded. Make sure you're using all the various body parts in the right way. The Tikkun HaZohar says the face, the head, is like the menorah. The seven openings of the face are like the seven lamps that Aaron's lighting in the menorah. And therefore, the Yavanim came into the Beis HaMikdash, and Timu kol ha-shmanim shebeheichal. Why are the Yavanim going after the menorah? What do they have with the menorah? Why the menorah? Because they understood that the Jewish people are only going to be good as their perspective, the way that they see, the way that they hear, the things that they say. Right? Whatever we allow in through the various openings of our Rosh, as Klal Yisrael themselves are called Yisrael. Where does the name Yisrael come from? The Arizal says Yisrael, he writes in the Shara Psukim, Parshas Vayetze, Yisrael is Li Rosh. Li Rosh, I have a head. I use my head in the right way. Yavan had a lot of ideas, they had a lot of head also, there's a lot of intellect, a lot of seichel, but philosophies that weren't true to Torah. And the proof of that was the way that they used their eyes, the way that they used their ears, the way that they indulged their bodies. There's a big difference between Yisrael, Li Rosh, right? Letters Yisrael, Li Rosh, I have a head. I use my eyes the right way, I use my ears the right way. I'm guarded in the proper way to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu in that way. So the Yavanim came, and they tried to metame all the oil. They said, you can light your menorah, right? But they want that the seven neros, which again correspond to the seven openings of a Jew, that they shouldn't be on such a level of purity. They were trying to drag us down. They were trying to get us to change our values, to lower our standards. But Klal Yisrael said, we're not going to lower our standards. We're going to fight back. We're not going to allow you to change our perspective. What did the Yavanim say, the famous Medrash? Kisvu al Karan Ashur, Shein Lechem Chelek B'Elokei Yisrael. They wanted us to ride on the horn of an ox that you have no portion in the God of Israel. Shein Lechem Chelek B'Elokei Yisrael. You have no connection to the God of Yisrael, Li Rosh. That's not for you. And the Gemara says, you know what they tried to do in doing that? They tried, says Chazal, Hechshichu Einehem. Hechshichu Einehem. They tried to darken our vision. They tried to change our perspective. But Klal Yisrael found that Pach Shemen, which was rooted in Yom Kippur. Right? The day of Tara, the day of purity. Lefnei Hashem Titaru. That I'm not gonna lower my standards. And I'm not going to allow myself to be swallowed up by the tum of the world. I'm going to be a Jew. And I think differently. Right? What's going on in this brain is different than what's going on in the mind of a Plato or an Aristotle. Right? I think differently. And it expresses itself by the way that I see things, the way that I hear things, the way that I speak, the conversations that I have. Yisrael, Li Rosh. Yes, I have a chelek b'lokei Yisrael. And you're not going to hechshichu einei. You're not going to darken my vision and change my entire perspective. The Gemara says, Meseches Yoman, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, that when the Kohen Gadol would sprinkle the blood, bringing Tara, bringing Kapara to Klal Yisrael, on Yom Kippurim, how would he sprinkle? He would sprinkle Achas Lamala v'sheva Lamata. So the Svarim explain, Achas Lamala v'sheva Lamata. A person whose Achas is Lamala, a person whose head is in the right place, if your Achas is Lamala, if you have a heavenly perspective, then you're Sheva Lamata, then you're seven below, then the seven ways that you engage this world, the eyes, the ears, the openings of the nose and the mouth, those seven openings, if it's Achas Lamala and Sheva Lamata, then you're good. Right? And that's how the Kohen Gadol would sprinkle the blood. He would say, Achas Lamala, if you're connected above, then the Sheva Lamata, then the seven which are in this world, which are part of this real world, that we engage this world in with our eyes and our ears. But if you're Achas Lamala, if you're connected above, right, then Sheva Lamata, then the seven that are down below are going to be able to properly carry out their shlichus in this world. You'll see in the right way, you'll hear in the right way, and you'll serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the right way. I'll just end with an amazing remez. Really a remarkable remez that I saw in the Sefer Imrei Noam. The Imrei Noam brings a remez to finish this final point. And again, this explains again, why does Chanukah have its origins in Yom HaKippurim? Right? Again, Chanukah is the fight for that Torah, that purity of Yom HaKippurim, to maintain our values, to maintain our standards. Right? Chanukah is the end, it's the Gemar Chasima of Yom HaKippurim. Now we understand on two levels. Right? Why Dafka, the oil that they found in the seal of the Kohen Gadol? It wasn't the Kohen Gadol's job to seal the oil. Right? First of all, we have the secret of the Gemara in Masechta Sota and Daf Lamed Gimel, that Yochanan Kohen Gadol got the message in advance. Right? But also we understand that Chanukah is really rooted in the purity of Yom Kippur. And Chanukah is the end of the whole process of Yom Kippur. The Imrei Noam, the Rebbe of Jikov, says in a beautiful remez, beautiful gematria. He says, if you take the gematria of Ayin and Ayin, one for each eye, Ayin Yod Nun and Ayin Yod Nun, and you take the gematria of Ozen, Ayin Zayin Nun, Aleph Zayin Nun and Aleph Zayin Nun, one for each year, right? And you take the chotem for the nose, he spells without the vav, ches, tes, mem. And you take the peh, peh, hey, right, the mouth, 85. Right, so you have ayin, plus ozen, plus ozen, plus chotem for the nose, and the peh is gematria 518. 518, the Sfarim tell us, 518 is the gematria of lahadlik ner Chanukah. Lahadlik ner Chanukah. So the whole Indian of lighting the menorah is the realization that we are menorahs. That a Jew has to be a light into the world. Right? That we have to be able to shine outwards and show that we're people, we have the right perspectives. We have the right things going on in our mind. Right? That we're rooted in the purity of Yom Kippur. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put again into motion, we have to realize, we come to Chanukah. This is as, has to be as exciting for us in terms of the opportunity as Rosh Hashanah, as Yom Kippur. When we bring our A-game, when we come to the table, we're ready. Right? We're dressed in white and we've been thinking and we're serious and we're connecting. When you sit in front of that menorah and you're watching those lights, right? Again, you think of, we have eight lights. Yeah, achas lamala sheva lamata. My head is above, my head is connected above, and I'm able to use my seven kochos below. My two eyes, my two ears, I'm able to use all of the things, all the faculties that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me to serve Him properly. So as we're sitting there, as we're trying to, again, look at our neshamas, so to speak, by the light of the menorah, to cleanse ourselves by the light of that menorah, we hope, again, like the Chorkov Rebbe was sitting there holding up that little petek, holding up that little kvittel from his chassid, trying to reassess, trying to see things in a new way. You could say this is a shiur for Zos Chanukah, but we have to, you know, sometimes we show up too late. We only find out about Zos Chanukah as a Zman of Tshuva, when Chanukah is already over. Zos Chanukah is when it ends. By the end, right, we've built ourselves up. One candle, two candles, three candles. By the end, our whole menorah is lit. Our whole life is illuminated. Mahadrin min mahadrin. We've achieved mahadrin min mahadrin, right? We're working on it every day. One, two, three. But when the whole menorah is lit, then we're really there. Mahadrin min mahadrin. Then we've made it. The Svarim HaKadoshim say that the gematria of Mahadrin min Mahadrin is exactly gematria of Tshuva, 713. So over the course of Chanukah, we're trying to hold, it's a Tshuva process. It's a new opportunity. Now, we got a little stale, it's getting to be winter, and it's getting dark, and it's getting cold, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is a distant past. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us one last chance, again, to sit by that light and to look at that kvittel, to try to reassess, to try to renegotiate. And the Yirtzeh Hashem, each and every one of us will come to Chanukah in the right way, we'll be able to experience that Tshuva. We'll feel the cleansing process of Chanukah the same way we felt it on Yom Kippurim. And then Amir Tzashem, as the Bnei Yisrael himself explains, Chanukah is a chinuch. It's a preparation for the Gula Shlema. It trains us, it gives us a glimpse of Lasid Lavo. And Amir Tzashem, we should be zochet to see that Gula b'mehera b'yameinu amen. Have a great Shabbos and a lichtige Chanukah. We will try to have a shiur next week.